Okay, we're on page 76. The bottom part of Pasuk Chav Ches. Okay, after the whole procedure with the Saita, we're raising the water and the husband accusing him that whole Megillah. So it says in the Pasuk that if she's guilty, her stomach bursts open and she dies. Now it says, V'mlei nitma isha, what happens if the woman wasn't impurified? I mean, she was innocent. Utaheri, and she's pure. So then, v'niksev v'nizer zara, she'll be proven innocent, she will bear seed. Like the Gemara says, like we learned, that if she gave birth to difficult, it'll be easy labor. If she gave birth to girls, she gave birth to boys, big kids, little kids, whatever, you know, it would be a blessing in all the children. Now, Rashi asks, what's the double expression here? It says, imlay nitma ha'isha, it means if she's not impure, so obviously she's taheda. And then the pasuk continues, says, utaheda hi. So why is the pasuk repeating itself? That she's not Tameya, and then she's Tahira. So Rashi says from the Gemara that there's two things over here. Number one, that she's not impure as far as the guilt goes. She's not going to die. And the second thing is, now she's permissible to go back to her husband. Because we learned if she's Tameya, like if she admits her guilt or whatever, then she can't go back to the husband if she committed adultery willingly. So now the Torah says that Tahira is back, to, number one, Leinit Ma'isha, that she won't die in the waters, and Utahiri, she can go back to the husband. And then she'll give birth to more successfully, she'll have easy labor, and so on and so forth. Over there, it's interesting, we mentioned this all the way to the beginning of Seita Tesis, and the Gemara asks the question, so if so, any woman that doesn't have children, any woman that has a problem giving birth, so let the husband accuse her, she'll go through the process, she'll become innocent, and she'll have kids. I mean, it's a good method of having kids if you don't have kids. Or if you have a hard labor, just be a guarantee for easy kids.
Artificially?
No, the Saita waters. Yeah, but if she's innocent, so what? She'll get a bracha from Hashem, she'll have kids.
This is Seta.
So therefore, Taisus explains, the Gemara doesn't mean that, simply, when Taisus was learning the Gemara, he said the Gemara would mean that if you don't have kids, you're going to get kids. Okay? Yeah. You don't have kids, you're going to get kids. So Taisus asked, and so every barren woman should do it and get kids. So Taisus answered, no, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean if you didn't have kids, you'll have kids. What it means is, if you have kids with problems, if you have this, then this will help you. So this is what Taisus answers. The commentators ask on Taisus, so let all the women that have problems, let them all do this. And the answer, that far a woman wouldn't go. In other words, a woman that doesn't have children and wants children, that's a very strong desire. So she'd be willing to go through the insulting and embarrassment and the whole process of a Saita, but from easy labor to hard labor, I mean, the hard labor to easy labor, that a person wouldn't want to go through. They wouldn't want to go through it, and therefore we're not afraid that she'll become a fake Saita to be able to have all those brachas. That far they wouldn't go. Okay, Zayis Pasuk Chav Tes, next page. Zayis Teres HaKnois, this is the law of the jealousness, meaning with the Saita, the Mincha is called Minchas Knois. Shatista Isha Tachas Isha, that a woman will go astray, like we learned before, Shtus means turning away from the truth, of a woman, Tachas Isha, here Isha with the dot in the hay, by the way, means her husband. Okay? It's very funny, and this is, by the way, this also matters when you lay. We were talking before about mistakes in Kriya. Isha is a woman, okay? Ish is a man. Now, how in Hebrew do you say her man? So normally it would be Isha, right? The problem is Isha means a woman. So how do you know when Isha means a husband and when Isha means a woman? So if there's a dot in the hay, it's called a dogish, so it's pronounced Isha. There's a strong emphasis on the hay. When you pronounce the word Isha, a woman, you say Isha. When a woman's husband is called Isha. Because then there's a strong emphasis on the hay, which means possessive, that is the woman's man. That's Ibushid in Hebrew grammar. So therefore, when you're laying, by the way, you need to make sure that if you read it Isha, it means a woman. And if it means her husband, you can't read it Isha, you have to read it Isha.
So you correct him.
You have to correct him. Okay. Or Another case is Isha Sher Tava Ruch Kino, or a man that possesses a spirit of jealousy, V'kineh Ishtei, and he's jealous of his wife, V'hemid, not jealous of her behavior, he's upset with her behavior, V'hemid is Isha Levnei Hashem, he brings the woman to stand before Hashem, and V'asul HaKoyin, and the Koyin does, meaning, V'asul HaKoyin Eish Kol HaTorah Zeis, the Koyin does everything that he needs to do. And as they bring down, the Mefarshim explained that even though it means erasing Hashem's name, and therefore the Kohen would think maybe to hesitate because, you know, erasing Hashem's name is a very terrible Aveda, nevertheless, the Kohen should do it because Hashem wants his name to be erased, like we learned before, to make peace between man and woman. V'niko ishme avein, the man will be innocent of iniquity, meaning, and from here the Gemara learns out, Rashi brings down, from here the Gemara learns out in Seita, that if the man is guilty of committing a crime in sexual issues, the water will not check the wife. Now, the Gemara learns out from this passage, because it says the man will be clean from his sin, right?
I can't understand. What do you mean?
The man, what?
What do you mean?
If the woman died because of Saita, okay? So the Torah says the husband shouldn't feel guilty for killing his wife. If you think about it, the man accused his wife, and because of that, the whole process came, and she ended up dying. Right? So Lochayri, he's killing his wife. So the pastor says, no, V'niko ishma oven, the man is clean from sin. He didn't do anything wrong. Ha'ishahiti says Aveina. That woman will carry her sin. Okay? And it says, even if the water proves her innocent, she'd still, it's still an embarrassment and punishment. In other words, like this. The bottom line is, the woman did seclude herself with a man that the husband warned her not to. Okay? Otherwise, there's no din of a seita. Right? There's witnesses that they were secluded. Right? Otherwise, if there's no witness that they were secluded, the whole din of seita doesn't apply. Right? Like we learned before. So what happens? There are witnesses that she was secluded with the guy that the husband warned her not to be with. Right? Now, even though she turns out to be innocent, even if she turns out to be innocent, she's still shamed. Like we said before, it's still a process. You come to the Kohen, the Kohen undoes her hair, which was public insult and those. It was a lot of embarrassment. Yet, that embarrassment...
Was he talking about that?
No, we're almost done. The embarrassment is the kapara for the sin. In other words, it's not a sin punishable by death because she didn't have relations with the guy, but she did seclude herself with him, and therefore the Torah says, "For Isha Tisav Saveina, she carries the sin," and the Mefarshim say, even though she was innocent at the end, there was public humiliation, which is the kapara for the sin that she did.
She just talked to the stranger.
It wasn't talking; she was locked. It was closed in a room with him. It's a whole different story.
Wasn't a stranger.
No, and the husband warned her that she shouldn't be with him.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, now we're done with the Seita. Now you're happy? Let's go to the next guy, the Nazir. Yeah. We'll soon see about the Seita, though. Okay, let's just give an introduction to the concept of a Seita. I mean, of a Nazir. First of all, the Gemara says, beginning of Seita, the Gemara says, why is the Parsha of Nazir right after the Parsha of Saita? Obviously, what's the connection in the Chumash that right after you talk about this accused woman, the Torah warns us about not getting, being a Nazir. Or being a Nazir. So the Gemara says, Hareyas Saita b'kukola, whoever sees a Saita in a corruption, Yazid Atmim and Ayan should separate himself from wine. Because as a rule, wine makes people go wild.
Sorry. If somebody sees a
Saita, Rashi uses the expression. Whoever sees a Saita in her corruption, he knew about it, that such a thing happened. Yazid atzmi min hayayin. He should separate himself from wine. One second. Shumevi ledimi niyuf, because wine brings him to this immorality.
But he just saw it. What if he was like...
No, but the fact that Hashem made that, he should be aware of it. Now, in other words, as a rule, the Torah is anti-vows. The Torah doesn't like when people make vows, just to forbid things that the Torah allows. When should a person make a vow? So it says in Halacha, like for instance, if somebody overly indulged in a certain lifestyle, okay, and they want to break it, so then they'll make a neder. They'll make a vow, you know, a shvur, a neder, they'll make a vow that they shouldn't do it. What is the purpose of it? Because they're going all the way to the left, and they want to get back to the middle, so by making a vow, you're going stringent, even though the Torah allows it. Right? If somebody is overindulged in meat, okay, and they want to stop it. So one of the ways of stopping it is by making a vow. By making a vow, you go fanatic the opposite way, so then you come back in the middle. But as a rule, the Torah doesn't like when people make vows. In fact, we'll see later on in the dinim of a nazir, the Gemara says a nazir has to bring a sin. Torah says a nazir has to bring a sin offering when he's done. So the Gemara says, why does he have to bring a sin offering? What did nazir do wrong? He's a holy guy. So the answer is, dayach mashasarta lecha Torah. It's enough. Dayach, dayeno, dayach. It's enough. Mashasarta lecha Torah that the Torah forbids. Don't be more frum than the Torah. The Torah says you could eat wine, drink wine. The Torah says you can cut your hair. The Torah says you can come tame if you're not a kohen. Don't be more fanatic than the Torah. And in that respect, it's a sin. As a rule, the Torah doesn't like the concept of vows. But in this case, the connection between saita and wine means if a person feels that it doesn't only mean who sees the saita in their corruption should separate himself from wine. It means if it affects him in such a way that it could lead him to immorality and all that, so the Torah says then he should separate himself from the wine. Okay, which is in essence normally wrong, because you don't be more frum than the Torah. We mentioned, and it says already in Chassidus, that when Mashiach comes, those things that we could have elevated to Kedusha by eating it and using it and doing it, they're going to have a complaint to us. When Mashiach comes, he said, why didn't you? You had the ability to elevate me, why didn't you? Okay, so from one side, the Torah demands, you know, not overly indulging. From the other side, the Torah demands not to be overly to the right. The Torah likes the middle of the road path. So because a nazir is something which wine does cause evil things, immorality or permissiveness or whatever, so the Torah says, you know, just cool it.
A woman, they can be nazir?
Yeah. A woman could be a nazir. In fact, if you look in the pasuk, it says Ish or Isha. What does he do? The guy says, I am a nazir. That's what the guy says. What does it mean? Practical language. He cannot eat any grape derivative. In other words, he can't eat a grape, he can't eat the wine, he cannot eat the pit of the grape, he cannot eat the peel of the grape, nothing of grapes. He has to let his hair grow. And he's not allowed to come in contact with a dead body or in the same room with a dead body. Now, there are different levels of naziris, even though the Torah itself doesn't go into all these details, but the Gemara discusses all these details. If a guy just says, I am a nazir, he doesn't say for how much time, he's a nazir for 30 days. Gemara says, Stam naziris shleishim yom. Plain naziris, time, you know, is not. Generally speaking, the minimal amount of naziris is 30 days. So if a guy says, I'm a nazir for 10 days, then he's automatically a nazir for 30 days. That's the minimal requirement. Then you have what's called nazir olam. Everlasting nazir. Like Shimshon. Right? Shimshon was nazir al-kim yanar. Then he had to be a nazir from the time he was born. Shmuel Anavi, but the Rambam discusses, the Gemara discusses also, there was a difference between Shmuel and Shimshon and the regular Nazir. But, so a Nazir Eila means a guy that says, I'm forever a Nazir, takes a haircut once a year. Once a year.
What about cutting nails?
Huh?
What
Nails not problem. No problem. And the third thing, you cannot become tamei for a dead person.
Why would somebody declare that I'm a
nazir? Again, because he wanted to become. He felt there was an urge to get drunk and to do things which were wrong, or the guy just wanted to become holy.
Make a big commitment.
In fact, the various different mefarshim bring down the various different things.
He can marry?
Yeah, sure.
Can he drink non-grape related alcohol?
Yes, he cannot just.
Vodka.
He can, huh?
Vodka.
Vodka, if it is from wine, then
no,
he
can.
He can still become drunk. It doesn't prevent him from becoming drunk, just from getting drunk from wine.
Yeah. Right.
Seriously, right?
Yeah.
Only wine. He could drink as much alcohol as he wants.
So how does that prevent him from?
Because wine is what causes yayin samar. Wine is a prominent drink, so therefore wine has to do with it.
Why is it for the sake of Hashem?
Not for the sake of Hashem. For Hashem. In other words, to Hashem.
It's not for the sake of Hashem. In the translation.
Yeah, for the sake of Hashem means because I want to become a better person. So, in fact, the Yerushalmi, I see he brings it down here, but there's a Yerushalmi. It says a very interesting story. Leperl, at the end of a Nazir, you have to bring three korbanos. Okay? You have to bring a female lamb, a male lamb, and a ram. Okay? So the Yerushalmi tells a story in the days of Rav Shimon ben Shatach. Was the earlier, in the times of Yani HaMelech. In fact, he was his brother-in-law. Okay? 300 people all vowed to be a Nazir. They all vowed they're going to be a Nazir. The problem was, they were not so rich, and they had no money for each one to bring three korbanos. You know what it is? It's a lot of money. You had to bring a lamb, a male lamb, a female lamb, and a ram. Okay? It was like, didn't come closer. It was a lot, you know what I mean? So they came to the Shimon Mishatach, and they said, listen, we're finishing on the Zirs, but we have no money for the sacrifices. So the Shimon Mishatach examined their vow, the shvur that they made to be a Nazir, and he realized 150 of them were not really Nazirim. Okay? He dis-Nazired, he un-Nazired, 150 of the 300. But you're still left with 150 guys that needed korbanos, three each. So he went to the king. His brother-in-law was Yanei HaMelech. This Yanei HaMelech was up and down, good and bad, whatever. Yanei HaMelech married Shimon ben Shatach's sister. So he came over to the king, listen to this. He came over to the king, and he said to Shimon ben Shatach, listen, I have a problem, I need your help. I have 300 Nazirim. Each one has to bring three korbanos. Is 900 korbanos. They're all poor. Sisters, king, you know what? You take half, I'll take half. You give 450, give them money for 450 korbanos, and I'll give money for 450 korbanos. So the king said, if you're willing to give half 50-50, I'm in the deal. So that's what he did. And the king gave 450 animals, so the 150 Nazirim had the money. The Pearl, soon, the snitchers snitched to the king what Shimon ben Shatach really did. He basically got the king to pay for all the korbanos. So Shimon Shatach, Yanei was a melech, he was a type of a crazy king at some times. So Shimon ben Shatach, even though it was his brother-in-law, he pushed him, ran away. Because he knew Yanei Melech was going to kill him. He ran away. Later, a delegation of Persian noblemen was invited to dine with Yanei HaMelech. So they said to Yanei HaMelech, you know, there used to be a guy here, a big scholar, would say beautiful Dvar Torahs at this royal king at the feast. Where is he? So, they met, where was Shimon Shatach? So Yanni told his wife was Shlomtzian, to order her brother to return to the palace. She told, go find your brother, I won't hurt him. Send him back to the palace. And send him your ring as a token, promise him you're not going to hurt him. So he came back. So Shimon, Yani HaMelech says to Shimon ben Shatach, why did you run away? He said, what do you mean I ran away? You're going to kill me. So he said, why did you cheat me? Why did you cheat me? The 50-50 when you were off the hook completely. He said, Chas v'shalom, I deceive you. I paid for it by undoing them as a nazir. You paid money, I paid chokhmah. With my wisdom, I undid 150 nazirim. This is also in Yerushalmi. But undid 150 nazirim, so I did it. I also got them, I paid for the korbanos. How did I pay? With my wisdom, not with my money. So I wanted you to do it. So he says, so why didn't you tell me that only 150 nazirim would need korbanos? He says, because I knew you wouldn't do it. If I didn't give my 50, you wouldn't give your 50, so therefore I didn't do it. Okay, here he doesn't bring down the end of the story. In the Ramleyes, he brings down the end of the story that when they came to bench to do Berchav Samazin, so they honored Shimon ben Shatach with benching. So when Shimon ben Shatach benched, he said, Ala mazin sha'ochel yanei v'chaveirov. Normally you say, sha'achalnu mishaloi, that we ate. Instead he said, I'm blessing you for the food that Yane ate. So the king said, you're making fun of me again. Like you with the food you ate, that I'm me and you are not. So he said, Chas v'shalom, how could I say nevarach sha'achalnu mishaloi if I didn't eat? Shimon Shatach said, I didn't eat. How could I say sha'achalnu mishaloi? How could I say that we ate? I didn't eat. So he said, but you ate. Anyway, he was safe from the story. It's Yerushalmi and Brachas that they bring down about benching, by the way. But this,
so he benched, although he did not eat.
Like we say in Baruch Shmei Tamad Leilambad. He didn't do Bechaz Mazgas, because he didn't eat. But that's that aspect of...
He did a lot of like things.
Huh?
Like the witches that he hung.
Shimon Shatach was a very holy man, by the way. He's a very... By the way, you know Nishmas that we say every Shabbos? Nishmas Kochai? Shimon Shatach wrote it. The Rebbe brings down the Agada Shel Pesach. The Rebbe brings down that the Nishmas Kochai was written by Shimon Shatach, that Shimon Shatach wrote it. And the Rebbe writes, there's a certain few phrases that read backwards is an acronym for his name, for Shimon Shatach. So Nishmas, you told Shimon Shatach was much before Hillel. Look in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, right? No, Shimon HaTzadik, then you had Antigone Shisechi, Yosef and Yerzi Yisreida, then Yudah Ben Tabe v'Shimon Ben Shatach, right? Afterwards was Shmaya and Natalion, and then were Hillel and Shammai. So Shimon Ben Shatach was two generations before Hillel. Hillel, the Gemara says, was 100 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. So Hillel lived 100 years before Bayis Sheni was destroyed, and this is two generations before Hillel. So talking long, you know, in the midway through the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. Now the Mefarshim explained. There was a nazir at Yisrael, so Bechal today is a problem because today you don't have the korbanos to bring when you're done. You have a problem. You can't bring korbanos today. We have no Beis Hamikdash. Nothing, they stay in Nazir basically for life, but there's a problem with it because, like we said, you can't actually bring the Korbanos to do it right.
And he stays Nazir, long hair? And,
Yeah. But if he's a Nazir, he could shave, take haircut once a year.
He might walk on the grave not knowing
it. Yeah, then if he does, we'll learn the Pesukim, if he becomes Tamei.
So
what he did until now is retroactively not good. He has to do a whole process and start all over again.
Rabbi,
what?
What about for Pesach? They have to have.
So they Taka didn't. They did it on Chama Medina, on the drink of the land. There they couldn't do it on because it's Chomizdik. But they did it on a prominent drink. What do people do today that can't drink wine or grape juice?
On Shabbos or
and Pesach.
Pesach.
Shabbos, you hear Kiddush from somebody else, big deal.
Or make
Kiddush and Chalo, or you may hear Kiddush from somebody, basically you have to drink.
What else,
huh? So they, if they didn't, they were not allowed to drink. So they
Pesach vodka. I mean,
no, either chamar medina, like tea or coffee or something like that. Somebody once came to a rav in Europe and says, "Can I make abracadabra some milk? I don't have money for wine. Can I make 4 cups of milk? Four cups of milk." So the rav, he said, "I'm poshut, that I can't afford the wine." So the rav took out a lot of money and gave him a lot of money. He said, "Go buy wine." So his Rebbetzin overheard the way her husband, Rav, told her to said, "Why do you give him so much money? That money is not only for wine, you could buy." He said, "You don't understand. If he's asking me if he can use milk, that means he doesn't have meat either. Because if he has meat, how could he ask me a question about using milk? So he doesn't have meat either. If he doesn't have meat, he probably doesn't have fish." He gave him money for the whole Pesach. Okay. But the Mefarshim explain, the various different Mefarshim explain like this. Why are these three things that the Torah picked for a Nazir? The Torah picked no wine, no haircuts, and no impurity. So they say like this, wine causes bilbul, you know, makes you drunk, you know, it causes immorality. Here, it says that a person shouldn't look too beautiful. In fact, there's a story, the Me'am Le'er has also been done before. Shimon HaTzadik, from Pirkei Avos, Shimon HaTzadik was the last Kohen Gadol of the second Beis HaMikdash. I mean, not. It was from the earlier Kohen Gadol of the second Beis HaMikdash. Shimon Shadach never ate the meat of a Nazir, from the Korbanos of a Nazir.
Shimon
HaTzadik. He's much before Shimon Shadach. So Shimon HaTzadik once saw a guy, looked a very handsome guy, looked into the reflection of the water. And when he saw himself, they didn't have mirrors in those days, by the way. He looked into the water, and he saw how handsome he was, and he was afraid that this is going to cause him to come to sin. He was like a model, you know, he was going to cause him to sin. So he vowed to become a Nazir. And Shimon Shatach heard the way he made a vow to become a Nazir. Shimon HaTzadik. So Shimon HaTzadik went to him and said, "Why are you making a vow as a Nazir? Like, what are you doing?" So he said, "Because I saw my reflection, I knew this is going to lead me to sin with my looks, and I did it mamash la Hashem." Shimon HaTzadik kissed him on his forehead and says, "You're a tzaddik." And when he finished his Naziris, he ate from his korban, which he never did. Because that Nazir, and therefore it has to be, that's what it says, Nazir la Hashem. What does the Pasuk say? Ish ki yafli linda nazir lahazir lahashem. He doesn't say lahazir, period. Lahazir lahashem means the only time a nazir is holy is when it's for the sake of Hashem. And it's interesting, this is how the Mefoshim, like, reconcile. Sometimes the Torah is calling him a sinner, right? And sometimes the Torah is calling him holy. So it says, if he's doing it lahashem, in other words, he's doing mamish l'shem shemayim, then he's taka holy. If he's doing it, then he's a sinner. Okay. So it says like this. Dabim nei sova matalim. Isha, isha. Obviously, you see clearly from here, the Gemara says that a woman can be a nazir. Ki yafli linder nazir, nazir, if they make this vow of making a vow, lahazir l'Hashem, become a nazir for the sake of Hashem. So the Torah says like this, Miyayin v'sheicha yazir, he has to separate himself from Yayin and Sheichor. Yayin and Sheichor is a very interesting thing. In the Mefoshim, there's an argument, what's Yayin and what's... By the way, Sheicha here does not mean beer. You know, in Hebrew today, Sheichor is beer. When the Torah says, even we learned before, in Parshas Shmini, after Nadav and Avihu died, and Hashem said to Aaron, when Hashem spoke straight to Aaron, it says, Yayim v'shecher al teisht. Right? Don't drink wine. So Rashi says, from the Gemara, Yayim v'shecher over there does not mean wine and beer. Yayim derech shikrus. Shecher over here means shikr, not beer. And the Mefarshim argue, one opinion says, Yayim is new wine, shecher is aged wine, and some say the opposite. Yayim is aged wine, and shecher is new wine. But regardless, whether it's old or new, it's still forbidden. Not only that, chaymetz yayin mean wine that became sour, or chaymetz sheichor, or the sheichor wine vinegar of that, of aged wine, lo yishta, v'chom mishres anovim, anything that grapes were soaked, even if you cooked, let's say, grapes in water, right, and you just had a grape soup, like say, whatever. V'anovim lachim v'yaveshim liyechol, he cannot eat wet grapes, dried grapes, no grapes. Nothing that comes from a grape. Even the next person is going to say, let's see this book before we discuss it. Call you may nizu all the days of his nizidus. Call us sheyosim megefen ayayin. Anything which is made from the wine. Mechatsanim vadzog. From the chatsanim. See, Rashi says chatsanim is the garinim, the pits. And zog is the klipa, the peel of it. Some of our shulim are just the opposite. The being down from Rav Avram, it's probably the Venezer, learns just the opposite that, what do you call it? Chatsanim is the peel and zog is the pit. But anyway, it means both. Bottom line is you can't have either of them. Now, they bring down some interesting things, Tom.
When?
What?
When they get nazir, they get stronger? Like kedusha?
The nazir officially gets more kedusha. Okay, so you say like this. Some Zevain, that's a cute word. Why is the nazir called the sinner? Because he's, by becoming a nazir, he separates himself from three things, right? No wine, no funerals, basically, and no long cutting hair. These are signs of a personality that are no good.
He could be married, and he could have a wife, and he could have relation, everything.
He could do whatever he wants. Yeah. He's not a priest.
Okay.
Or a pope. He's a Jewish nazir. Jewish nazir? Not really. A Jewish nazir can have kids, married, everything. And by the way, his kids could drink wine. His wife could drink wine.
And get a haircut. His kids could get a
haircut.
His kids
can get a haircut.
Does it have to be married?
No. Does it in Yerushalayim? Wasn't there the nazir last generation? No? There was a nazir in Yerushalayim in the previous generation. Forgot what his name was.
Shayoshev Cohen's father was a nazir.
Shayoshev, because very possible. There was one of them, there was one or two nazirim in Yerushalayim in the previous generation. Okay, so something like this. Wine is a sign of simcha. A person abstains himself from wine means I don't want to participate in other people's simchas. You know, simcha is a sign of chasanah, wedding, bar mitzvahs. It's a sign of simcha. A guy abstains himself from wine means I don't want to share other people's simchas. He says I don't want to have anything to do with dead bodies. I mean I don't want to share in people's tzaddis. When people have problems, I don't want to be part of it. Letting his hair grow wild means nobody wants to hang around such a guy, huh?
I don't want to be bothered with haircuts.
I don't want to be bothered with people, not haircuts. Because, you know, a person is clean and neat, people want to associate with them. A guy with long hair, you know, nobody wants to associate with. So this is a person, basically, that secludes himself from the community. No simchas, no tragedies, no, you know, feeling that... The Torah says, such a guy is a sinner.
But he's holy.
It depends out if he does it, he's holy, yeah? He brings down over here from a pirush called Arka Salma. Interesting thing. Shimshon's mother, it's Daftei of Parshas Nosei, right? The story of Shimshon's birth, when Manayach, Mrs. Manayach, doesn't say her name in the Haftarah, but Mrs. Manayach, met the Malach, and then the Malach said to her, you're going to have a kid, and he's going to be a Nazir. And the Malach told her, you also cannot drink wine. He told Shimshon's mother, you can also not drink wine. It was a unique situation, Shimshon. Shimshon didn't be... The Gemara says Shimshon's Nazir was much easier, halachically, than a regular Nazir. But so why did the Malach tell Shimshon's mother that she can't drink wine? Shimshon, okay, he's a nazir, but what has to do with her? So they write, he brings in the superior shir, because Salma says like this. It's a lesson in chinuch. You want your kids to do certain things of holiness, you got to do it yourself first. Don't expect to make your kids holy if you're not holy. And that's why Shimshon's mother was told, you're having a born nazir? It's not a guy on his own, later became a nazir, right? This is from birth. He had no choice in the matter. Shimshon was born an Ozid. So the Malach already said to her, to the mother, listen to me. You want to educate your kid in being holy? You have to be holy yourself. Otherwise it's not going to work. Don't expect your kids to be holy if you're not. Well, like they say in English, don't expect your kids to be honest if you're not. Don't you expect your kids to say the truth if you lie.
It's much easier to be for the woman nazir than the man. The woman's hair is always growing and the wine or whatever. And
there are a lot of women that drink too, by the way.
That's right. Why? Wine that Hashem gave it only for the man?
No, God forbid. Hashem didn't give anything for the men. Well, the women took everything. They share a little bit with the men. No?
Who make Kiddush? Men or women?
Huh?
Yeah.
A lot of women make their own Kiddush.
Yeah, but 99% of the houses, one or two maybe, make Kiddush.
No.
99%. So who drinks the whole glass of the wine?
You ever go to Alcohol Anonymous?
No.
Look how many people there are women.
But wait, did she have a haircut? She was allowed to have a haircut.
Oh, Shimshon's wife. Yeah, Shimshon's mother, yeah.
So how does that teach if she was allowed to
have a haircut? No, but it's in the behavior of the drinking and that.
Okay, so it's
on your right, yeah.
Okay.
Only a man could become Nazir? No, it's Isha. Man or woman. The pasuk says clearly, man or woman. Okay, then it says like this. Pasuk Hey. Call your main Ned in Nizre for the duration of his Naziris. Tarli Yavar al Reshe. He cannot have a razor, should not pass over his head. But it means trimming also, not only actual razor, he couldn't cut his hair either. Ad Malaysa Yamim until the completion of the days. Ashayazil Hashem, that will be to Hashem. Kodesh Yihiyah, he will be holy. Gadol Peres al Reshe, the growth of his hair. And his, the hair on his head shall grow. In other words, like we said before, he's not allowed to cut it in any given way whatsoever.
What is the reason they do it for some period? Why do they do it for all life? Why for one?
Because for a very long time, it's very difficult, number one. And secondly, they felt they just need the push for a certain amount of time, and then they'll be straightened up.
They could do it like once a year if they wanted, right?
Or yeah, but again, people didn't do it. I mean, it's a process. It's a difficult activity. You have to bring three korbanos. I mean, it was a whole process of what needs to be done.
And people chose to do it because they want to be closer to Hashem?
Closer to Hashem, but they felt an urge into the left, so they want to go to the right.
Materials, they go up, everything out.
He brings down the assumption for Hirsch writes that what's the meaning of the nazir's hair growing, because hair is actually like a protection. It protects them from the outside influences of the world. You know, there's a whole story in Tanakh with David HaMelech's son Avshalom, who was rebelling against David HaMelech. Okay, he also had very long hair. He also used to take a haircut once a year. In fact, he died because of his hair. His hair got caught in the branch when his... He was flying up and down. Okay. Kol yimei hazira l'Hashem, for as long as he's a nazir to Hashem, al nefesh meis l'yovei. You cannot have any contact with a dead body. Not even l'aviv u'li'imei, not even to his father, not to his mother. L'ochav l'chaisei, to a brother or sister. L'yitama l'hem b'meisim, he cannot become tamei. That means he's even stricter than a kohen. He's like a Kohen Gadol. A regular Kohen could become Tomei for his father, mother, brother, or sister. Right? But a Kohen Gadol can't. So the Mefarshim ask, why Taka is he holier than a Kohen? Not even for parents. You know? So the Mefarshim write like this. Because a Kohen was born a Kohen, and therefore, he gets his holiness from his family. You can't become a Kohen. You're born a Kohen. So who made him holy? Who made him holy was his father and mother. Because they're a Kohen. The father's a Kohen, so he's a Kohen. So therefore, out of respect for the one that made you holy, you have to become Tameh. A Nazir, he made himself a Nazir. And therefore the Mefarshim explains it's the same thing with a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol wasn't born a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol's behavior made him be deserving of becoming a Kohen Gadol. Right? He made him deserving of becoming a Kohen Gadol. So over there, when he chose that level of Kedusha, there's nothing to do with the father and the mother. So the Torah says that you cannot become Tamei, even for a father or a mother. But a regular Kohen whose Kedusha came directly from the parents, the Torah says, listen, you have to become Tamei for them, because they were the ones that made you holy. Rabbeinu Bachai over here is... But we didn't finish Pasuk Vav yet. He cannot become Tomei for them even when they die. Why? Ki nezer elokov al reishe, the crown of Hashem is on his head. Another, because he's very holy, and like it says, kol yimei nidrei, his entire time of Naziris, Kodeshu Lashem. But there's a very interesting halacha. What happens for a Meis Mitzvah? He could become Tomei. Okay, Meis Mitzvah is, you walk in the street, you find a dead body, yeah. Nobody's there to take care of him. So the din is, okay, and God can also become Tomei, even for a Meis Mitzvah. So then the Mishnah says, what happens if a Nazir and a Kohen are walking in the street, and there's a Meis Mitzvah, who should become Tamei? The Kohen or the Nazir? So the din is the Nazir becomes Tamei. Because a Kohen is a lifetime kuhuna, and Nazir is temporary. So the kuhuna, a Kohen, is, in that respect, comes before the Nazir.
Nazir comes first.
I'm saying, Kohen is holier, so therefore the Nazir should do it, not the Kohen. And the Kohen God, I mean, whatever, but the Nazir is extremely holy, but everything, even fanaticism, has to have its guard, so to speak, that too much fanaticism is also not so.
It's not healthy.
It's not.
To everything?
I mean, it's
to everything or just...
Especially when you want to instill your fanaticism in somebody else.
Totally awesome.
That's forbidden. That's totally forbidden. A person could be as fanatic as they want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else.
If he's religious, if he's so fanatic and affecting your family, I still shouldn't do that.
In Yiddish, see, you guys don't speak Yiddish. I have to learn Yiddish. There's frum and there's erlich. Frum is frum, and erlich means honest. Says the Yiddish expression, galochim seinen frum, yidden seinen erlich. A priest is frum, fanatic. A Jew is erlich. Erlich means like honest, good. Fanaticism, that's for a priest. In fact, we learned already. Remember, we learned when Yaakov married two sisters. We learned how was Yaakov being allowed to marry two sisters if he kept the whole Torah and you're not allowed to marry two sisters. So we learned because he promised Rachel he was going to marry her, right? Which is common decency to keep his promise. His fanaticism of keeping Torah when he wasn't obligated to keep it is less important than being a mensch and keeping your word that he was obligated to do. And therefore, if he promised Rachel he was going to marry her, he had to marry her. His fanaticism is not going to allow it, because now he keeps the whole Torah. Your fanaticism cannot affect being proper and good to somebody else.
When he wanted to marry Rachel, and they gave him, you know, the other one, Leah. He did everything for love.
He did everything for Lavan? You said Lavan or love? What did you say?
Love of the Rachel.
No.
Seven years.
I understand, but if it's forbidden, it was still forbidden. If the story of Yaakov and Rachel happened after Matan Torah, that he was tricked, he would not be allowed to marry Rachel.
Even though he promised her.
What was the difference? Because before
Matan Torah, he wasn't obligated to keep Torah. Before Matan Torah, Yaakov Avinu was not obligated to keep Torah. He kept because he wanted to, but that was his fanaticism. He wasn't obligated to keep it. But if the story of Lavan tricking Yaakov with Rachel and Leah happened after Matan Torah, he would not be allowed to marry Rachel. Even if he divorced Leah, he couldn't marry Rachel. Because he can't marry two sisters until one dies. Even if you divorce him, you can't. They have to die first. You have to kill him and then you can marry the sister. That's what they do today.
She has children.
Who has children?
If one of the sisters has children.
Doesn't matter.
The other guy can marry the other sister?
No.
If they're alive now.
If he doesn't have kids with it, the kids are mamzerim.
What was the question?
No,
the kids have nothing to do with it.
She said, well, if one sister has kids, can you marry the other?
She died.
No, no. Not talking about, she's not talking about Yibum.
My uncle was married, had five children. His wife had a cancer. She died.
Then he can marry the sister.
Then he can marry.
Yeah,
but it's not to do with kids. I was like, if she was alive, he couldn't marry. If a man divorces his wife and wants to marry the wife's sister, he's not allowed to marry her as long as the wife is alive.
How about taking the sister as like a concubine?
No, sorry. Doesn't work. No, I know, I foresee. No. Okay, Tapu 760. V'chiyamus al meisol of precipice. Now we learned that a kohen, a nazir, means how he cannot become tummy, right? What happens if a nazir was in the room and a guy just died? And he became tummy. Not that he willingly did it. V'gilach reish shebeim ta'arasei. He has to shave his head the day he becomes purified. Okay? Meaning the day he's going to get squirted, we're going to see in a second what that means. Bayem Ashvi Galchenu, on the seventh day, he shaves his hair. In other words, the Torah is saying he has to shave his hair on the seventh day. What's the seventh day over here? He became tummy with a dead body. So now he needs the Parah Aduma. When do you squirt the ashes of the Parah Aduma? On the third day and on the seventh day. Right? So therefore the Torah says, he becomes tamei. He waits 7 days for the ashes of the Parah Aduma to purify him. Okay? On the seventh day, he takes a hair. He cuts his hair.
So he's not anymore nazir.
He's not on us. Not only that, we're going to learn, he has to start all over again, and all the days that he did until now are worthless.
He has to.
Yeah. What happens if Nazir says, I'm a Nazir for 30 days? Yeah? On the 29th day, he's in a building, same room, God forbid, a guy dies. A Jew dies. Okay, so now he's under the same tent, right? In the same room. So he becomes Tamei. Okay? So, he has to wait 7 days until he becomes purified with the ashes of the Paraduma. On the 8th day, he brings the Kabbanis, and he starts again 30 days.
You say Kabbanis is the one...
No. It's two different Kabbanis. There's one he brings now, some. And some when he finishes the Naziris.
So big Kabbanis, and he starts day one tomorrow
morning. Starts 30... Again, we'll see exactly. The Pasuk says that he has to bring various Kabbanis. So in other words, the guy's like this. 29 days he was a Nazir. Now he has to wait another week until he becomes Tahar. And then he has to start 30 days again. I mean, if he was a Nazir for 30 days. The guy says, I'm a Nazir for a year. And in the last day of the year, he starts all over again.
What if he says he's a Nazir for life?
Then he has to start... Yeah, just continue, keep going.
And this is involuntary. Once after this
happens. Once you make a vow to be a Nazir, that vow must be kept. In order for it to be kept, you have 30 days of no wine, 30 days of no impurity, you know, that has to be. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Under what circumstances could you annul it, like other vows?
This, you can't, it's difficult, you can't annul this one.
But you can't be a Nazir then today, because sure. It's not for a Duma, so...
Well, you cannot become Tomei, but it could be.
Yeah, so then, but that's part of...
But the problem is that when you finish the Naziris, but like you said, there are very, very few exceptions. As a rule, it's definitely not encouraged today to be a Nazir.
Didn't Shem shut up on all their vows?
No, he just proved that the vows never existed to begin with. The other 150, he could nullify the vow, because he can't nullify the vow of a Nazir. What he did was, he said the original way you made became a Nazir was not valid. That wasn't real. So then he made them, he didn't nullify the vow. Nullifying the vow is from here onward. Okay? Sometimes it depends. If you eiked the neder, but it depends on how you do it. It's possible to undo the vow to begin with. Huh?
How did you take the vow? In front of
Kohen Gadol? No, a guy could do it himself. Not only that, if a Nazir is walking by, okay, and the guy says, me too, he becomes a Nazir.
So it is a verbal.
If that's what he meant. Yeah, thinking of being a Nazir doesn't make you a Nazir.
But
you don't necessarily have to say, I'm a Nazir. If a guy says, Megalitza makes a vow, there's a group of guys. The guy says, I'm a Nazir. And a friend of his says, me too. Me too. Me too. Me too. They're all Nazirim.
And the dead body has to be
Jewish.
Huh?
The dead body should be Jewish?
Yeah, because otherwise a guy, it doesn't, it's machlekes, but the loch is a guy, doesn't make you tummy under the same roof, only a Jew.
Does that work nowadays too, if somebody says, a person says me too?
About a vow? Yeah?
No, that's right, because that doesn't exist today, right?
Nazir does technically exist. But if a guy makes a vow, I'm not going to eat chicken. Yeah? And the guy says, me too. He has a vow that he's not going to eat chicken.
For 30 days?
No, it depends. But how long the vow is.
You meant for now, for dinner. To be a Nazir.
Huh?
Next hour.
Nowadays.
It's possible to be a Nazir today.
There's no way to end it.
There's no way to end it, though. So you're stuck.
Good for smoking.
Huh?
Smoking, yeah. The best thing for smoking.
And alcohol.
I had crazy guys, what a guy called me once. Made a vow not to take drugs. Made a vow. There's certain crazy things. I don't remember the details.
And he wanted to annul it?
Yeah, he wanted to annul it. So he said, why do you want to annul it? I said, well, there's a reason. I don't know.
Can't drink.
I remember, it was a long time ago.
Three rabbi to undo the.
Nazir? No.
No, you cannot do that?
No. this is different. Yeah, it's a very powerful thing. The nazir is a very powerful thing. Okay, so what happens if this person dies on him suddenly, and he becomes tamei? So he has to cut his hair the day he becomes pure, meaning on the seventh day. And the Rashi says, "B'yom Hashmini." I'm sorry, "B'yom Hashmini Galchenu." Okay. "Uvayem Hashmini" on the eighth day. What does he bring? Yavish they say to him, he brings two turtle doves, a shnei b'nei yena, or two young doves, ala kaino pesach oil made. Okay? This has nothing to do with finishing the naziris. This is forgiveness for becoming tamei. Now, even though it wasn't your fault. Okay? And this is how the Mefarshim say, a very beautiful concept. We'll finish with this. If God allowed the guy to become tamei, and therefore all of his days before were wasted, basically they don't count, that's the real sinner. Because if you really meant it, Hashem wouldn't have done such a thing that you end up to be in a room together with a dead body who drops dead on the spot in front of you. That's when you're a sinner. And the proof of it is because God took away your naziris from you. Now you have to start all over again.
You needed extra days.
No, because it was wrong what you did. You didn't do it for the right purposes.
You know, it's so complicated that what happened Friday night, and if he would say, so Hashem wants to have this, so we're blaming on the Arabs that they went and they stabbed those kids. I mean, if God didn't want it, this wouldn't happen, right?
Correct.
So why are you upset?
We had a group not long ago about bad things don't happen to good people.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
5 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's a very difficult thing to understand. Truthfully. But the bottom line is, if you believe in God, God wanted it to happen.
Yeah, I missed that
class. Yeah, no. If God didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened.
Me too.
If you don't,
if it happens,
it's recorded.
It's a good person.
Bottom line is, if God doesn't want anything to happen, it's not going to happen.